Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Anime Movie Friday here at Anime Afterlife Podcast. I'm your host, Lurkst, and I'm joined by my co-host, Dave the Zombie.
Hello.
And my other co-host, Vincito.
Yay! I'm still another co-host.
So. I guess you're going to be the co-host.
Yay.
Feel proud. And I'm joined by my two guests this week, Richard.
I hope that spiky hair guy from Cross Game dies.
Me too. Oh.
And my second guest this week, Gabe.
Hey, I'm a co-host, okay?
Co-host.
You're no longer
Anime Afterlife Podcast, and guest this week, Gabe.
How come Vin's a co-host?
I thought Gabe was the other host. Isn't that what you always call him, Dave?
I don't know. I should probably.
You say, host, co-host, manga specialist. Then other host, because that's what you always used to call Richard.
I should probably get around to, like, giving you guys titles if you want. You
should just call me a writer or something like that.
Call me the... Never mind.
Why are we discussing this now?
I don't know.
Of all time?
Because why is Ben a co-host and I'm not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I was here for the first episode.
So Summer Wars, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
So... For the second week of Anime Movie Friday, we decided to watch the almost Academy Award nominated film, Summer Wars.
Almost, keyword.
Summer.
Almost.
Beaten out by Toy Fucking Story.
Isn't that
fucking
some shit?
Toys. Yeah.
So, what Summer Wars is about is you have this online sort of social network called Oz. And this
is definitely more than a social network. It's like a
I know.
World.
It's, this is like what Facebook would be if it like. This is like Facebook times 100 billion.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the basis of everything that everybody does throughout their entire lives. This is what like big corporations use to like check and manage their stocks, government. Like.
It's double the internet.
It's pretty much like. This is what the internet is. Like, Oz is the internet. That is essentially what it is.
Yeah,
and
except you can run actual things in the world through Oz. So, it's a little bit more involved.
We have our main character's name's Kenji. He gets invited by our other main character, Natsuki, to go with her to, quote-unquote, for a part-time summer job. Which, in actuality, she wants him to come along and, you know, act as her fiancé to her grandmother at her giant, what the fuck would you call that?
She has a giant, like, stadium.
Like, summer,
estate.
She has, like, a giant, like, summer home. Or, I don't know what the fuck you would call
it. Her grandma's, great-grandma's manor.
It was her grandma's birthday, so, like, all their relatives were getting together for it.
Yeah.
And... They
but
had
like,
this giant house full of nothing but kids,
I
older people, and one androgynous
estate.
Male.
An what? Estate?
Estate.
It was a state.
Okay, we'll go with that. It's an estate. All right, so after he gets introduced to Natsuki's grandmother and pretty much her entire family, that same night he gets a text message, like a random text message from Oz, with an encoded message.
What?
Just, Ben, what are you doing?
I think you forgot to mention that he's one of the. He's a code monkey that works on Oz with his best friend that's back in where they were studying in high school
with
or whatever.
His best friend, whatever his
name. Whatever his name was, glasses guy. He gets the text messages, and you know, programmers, he's a super genius by trade.
He's a pretty much like a super math nerd,
so
essentially. So he takes the code message and he spends all night like writing it down. He deciphers it, sends that back, which pretty much causes all of Oz, well, didn't cause all of Oz to crash. It causes this sort of AI virus to take over Oz.
It takes over his avatar. And then he just fucks up everything with his avatar.
Well, because that whole entire coded message was like this master algorithm for like all the master passwords.
It
for
was
Oz.
The yeah, it was the algorithm they invented for Oz. Oz's
security.
Their security algorithm like that was supposed to be unsolvable, but a little high school kid could solve it. And even though he's a genius, whatever.
And so pretty much the entire basis of the movie is them trying to stop him, stop this like AI virus from pretty much destroying Oz and the outside world.
Yeah.
So that's the basis of what this movie is about. So let me get into asking, what did everybody watch this in?
Because
I watched it dubbed.
I saw it first in, I think it was 2009, maybe late 2009, early 2010. In sub version with Dave, I don't remember. No, yeah, because I remember because me and Dave had that thingy going on.
We
and
had a bet.
I watched Toy Story 3, and you watched Summer Wars.
That I won.
And that bet is never being followed up for some reason. And I watched it sub first, and then I just today watched it dubbed, the dubbed version that I just got.
But you
Netflix.
Just watched it dubbed today.
Yeah, today my first time watching it.
Really?
Dubbed. And
wow.
My disc was so fucked up. It kept skipping. I don't like... Sometimes Netflix just fucks me over. But I liked the dub. It was good, I guess. I couldn't really... I can't really... You can't really tell the difference. Both versions are good. You don't really... I don't really have a preference.
There's no like... Oh, okay.
There's no really bad voice actor in either one. So you can just watch either one. You'll be fine.
Gabe, what'd you watch it in?
I watched it in subbed.
Subbed,
Yeah. Full 1080 on my TV. Was awesome.
What about you, what about you, Richard?
Oh, as I mentioned from the first anime movie Friday, I bought it on Blu-ray. It's the same as Evangelion.
Oh, yeah.
I watched it on subbed, but this time I watched it in dubbed.
Richard, you've seen the movie more than anyone here, though.
Yeah, I've seen it three times.
Yeah. I've only seen it twice.
It's something that you would like to rewatch.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely true, but yeah, I've only watched it dubbed. Only for the reason is because when the Blu-ray for Summer Wars was coming out, Funimation was putting a bunch of videos up on their YouTube channel, and I watched it, and I saw the dub for it, and I was like, this is a really fantastic dub. So that's why I watched it dubbed rather than what I usually watch anime and is subbed. So
I actually would have I would have liked to watch it dubbed because...
Oh, you should.
There are times... when I ignored the subtitles because I wanted to look at what was on the screen when they were floating through Oz.
Yeah.
It was absolutely breathtaking. I had to ignore the subs.
The animation in Oz itself is like the best animation in a movie I have seen in a long fucking time. That was amazing.
Like, I think the CG in Some Wars definitely is way better than this TG and like ever
and anything, it's but
it's so beautiful, it's colorful, it's just fantastic to look
incredible.
At.
It's incredible,
especially when you watch it in Blu-ray. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Did we forget Dave?
I don't know.
It's cool. I don't matter.
Okay. Yeah.
Dave, what you watching on?
Let's hear your info anyway.
I watched this in sub. I downloaded the 720 version.
I got the 1080. That was fantastic.
I know what you're talking about though earlier, Gabe, because when I first watched it, I didn't really pay attention to the backgrounds because I was focusing on reading the subtitles more, and this time around I got to look at all the backgrounds and everything. All the animation looked amazing.
When I watched it, like it was something that it made me open my eyes like wow. And I ignored the subs because I could tell what was going on just from the from watching it. So I didn't. I decided not to read it. I wanted to admire what was being put in front of me. And I, oh my god, it was incredible.
Like I'm not meaning to spoil anything here, but like not near the end, but like
spoil anything.
But in like the oh yeah, I guess so. But in
you
like,
know what you're getting like, into when you listen to this show.
Yeah, in the last 30 minutes of the movie, there comes a point where the virus, its name is Love Machine, and he gets to be this giant mass of avatars. You know, he's collected over 400 million avatars at that point. And you can actually see each... when there's this attack he does on King Kazuma at one time where he throws his finger at him He throws all the avatars in his finger, and you see each avatar that is well animated and insanely well designed. Like, each avatar is uniquely designed. They look great, like an avatar someone would actually make online. Mm-hmm. And each of them are animated in the scene. And even when you just look at him and he's just a mass of avatars, you can kind of see in detail a lot of the avatars on him. And it looks really amazing.
I should point out.
Madhouse did an exceptional job.
Exceptional? That's not even exceptional.
It's
incredible.
I can't make a word for that, man. That's insane.
I would like to point out, when he takes that form, it's literally a Chernabog, you know, from Fantasia, that old Disney movie. They even played music that was a rendition of The Night on Balder Mountain. What is it? Bald Mountain.
I don't remember the song name.
Whatever it is.
I don't remember Fantasia that much.
The song, I caught it, was literally a rendition of Chernabog. I thought it was pretty cool because he looked something like that. And it was such, it put in with that animation and the style. It was incredible to watch and to listen to at the same time.
Well, I mean, y'all mentioning like all the visuals and that's one of the reasons why I watched it in dub, because I knew that these visuals are going to be so good and it's going to look so great. And I just didn't want to sort of distract myself with reading subtitles. I wanted to see everything that was going on.
And the second
reason is because the dub for this is probably one of the best dubs I've ever watched in an anime.
It's a really good dub.
It's like next to Baccano as being one of the best dubs I've seen.
No character really feels off in the series, but I don't know if like I'm trying to think of one moment in the anime where I could think of that someone's voice fell off, but I can't really pick up. Larks and Gabe, you guys watched this in Blu-ray, 1080p?
Yeah, oh my
Richard,
god.
Richard, you did too?
Blu-ray.
Yep.
Me and Dave, I watched the DVD version, and Dave, I think, only watched it in HD, 720p. And
dude,
it's not that quite a big of a jump, but you know, I watched on my TV because I really wanted to get this movie feel. I didn't want to watch on my computer. I started, and I was thinking to myself, wait a second, I have a TV and an HDMI cable. What am I doing? I put it on, and the scene that I thought looked good on my computer was spectacular on my TV.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, especially like that first scene. Like that first scene in this movie where you're getting introduced to Oz is probably one of the greatest opening scenes to like any sort of movie or show that I've watched.
It was such a dynamic way to introduce you to this
whole universe that you it's so fucking fantastic.
It was an entire three-dimensional world that camera would float in three dimensions instead of being panning left and right. It moved everywhere.
It kind of feels like when you're getting introduced to a video game world or something like that, when they have a big open world game, like a Momopriga or something, and you get introduced kind of to the world at the opening, but they have like an announcer going in the background like, this is Oz and all that shit, and she explains all the shit you can do. But it kind of feels like, you're starting up your own avatar and you're kind of picking up on the game.
It felt very uniform. Like, it wasn't an out-of-place kind of director that you know it's a narrator. This one actually felt like it was part of the world and you should be hearing this. And, you know, the female voice they used, you know, it felt very smooth and it flowed with everything that was going on. It was a good introduction.
Yeah. I like cyber-connecting, and like it felt like the people in the real world are part of the world. Like, you know, in the beginning scene where like panning around the area, like you guys are saying and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like how like Kenji and his friends like on that platform doing their part-time job on like
as they're talking, their avatars look like they're talking too.
Mm-hmm.
And then it shows them in their real life and they're behind those Dell computers and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot. I think I've seen an anime that does that exact same thing. I can't remember what it's called.
I'm sure that's not actually what's happening. Like,
I know.
The world of Oz is like it's a metaphorical representation of like what it would be.
Yeah.
You know, but everything else, it's like looking at a regular screen. You're typing in stuff, and that's about it. But
that's kind of the thing with that is kind of, if people don't see that, it kind of gets to the point where it gets ridiculous because at times I would look at like the fighting that you get introduced to this character called King Cosmo. He's a giant rabbit that wears a biker jacket, I think it is. I don't know. And he has goggles. And you meet what's his name? The real guy who his avatar is King Cosmo.
Cosmo.
And he's this androgynous tan boy who wears a tank top and he looks like a girl. I thought it was a tank top, but
he wasn't a boy according to Gabe.
I really thought it was a girl, and I wanted it to be a girl.
I thought it was a girl too.
I thought it was too, and I first watched.
I'm like, he's walking through, and then he runs into this gorgeous tan short haired girl, and then when they're having a meeting with the men, I'm like, what is she doing there? And I go on Wikipedia, and it says Cosmo, like the 13-year-old son. I'm like, what? What?
Gabe got trolled.
Got trolled by Summer War.
Yeah, but I noticed that like during some of the fights between Love Machine, because they do fight Love Machine and King Cosmo, he would be typing frivolously or whatever that word is on his computer. And I just... Like, some of the things, I don't know what he's typing into his computer, but some of that translating out to special moves, like whatever he was doing in the Oz world, if you don't understand that that's just like
a representation
of what actually goes on in the game, then it's kind of ridiculous that well, it depends. I would have a hard time.
I know what you're talking about. I don't think the fighting scene exactly like puts it out, but there were parts where you can't really imagine that this is what's being typed out. It's not really happening, but there are parts where I thought, like, it's a little hard to believe that this is, like, something you're typing out, but
we can't really see what's actually happening on that screen, so, you know.
Actually can't, because usually when they showed their computers, it was, like, what actually was happening in Oz, but I don't... Like, there was this time where you could see everyone's computers. It was when Love Machine was attacked King Cosmo with his finger, and you could see on everyone's computers was just a mass of avatars over the screen. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, you can't really see what actually is going on that screen. It's just...
Yeah.
I guess. Well, and there was parts that even... I gotta praise Madhouse a lot for this, because they have a lot of attention to detail in this movie. There was a part near the end, this isn't even a big scene, where, what's that guy's name, the uncle, they have this uncle in the family, because this family is gigantic, who went to America.
The dude with the big fat uncle with the big bush mustache.
No, the uncle that was the developer.
Wabiske,
yeah, that's his name. And there's a scene where he's just typing on the computer trying to, I think it was decode Love Machine at that time. I don't remember what he's trying to do.
He was trying to adjust Love Machine.
But like, you look closely, everything he's typing out, it's like so much detail was put into that, just that part on the computer. You could, like, everything he was typing out was actually being typed out. Every like thing was really good. It's not even that important of a scene. It's just really.
They did the same thing whenever like Kenji was like writing out all those codes. Like, you could actually see him writing out each individual number. It just wasn't just like, oh, here comes the numbers across the page, and it looks like he's writing. Physically writing it.
His pen made the strokes that of like a six, and then it would write out the six, and then he would move over as it's moving over. He's making the strokes, and then numbers would appear. It's not just like squiggles. It was actually numbers.
Yeah, I just like the attention to detail in this movie. It's really amazing.
I really did. I did too. It's really good.
What I like most about this movie, it's not so much the animation. The animation is incredible. I don't want to compare it to anything, because I know I'm going to favor Kyoto Animation. But what I do like with Madhouse is they handled atmosphere and tone really well, because this takes place in summer, and not many anime are
really
very good.
I wouldn't notice that from the title.
I just thought I should tell you guys, but this takes place summer. But what I'm saying is that they really made you feel like it's summer, and the setting, the environment around them, it was drawn really well, and then it gives it a color tone that makes it really feel warm and open, like a summer day would be. And then they give the sounds of cicadas and stuff like that, you know, further pushing the feeling of
it, it also stuff. Has those that thing that because you there's a part where they needed like all this ice and shit, and like they were trying to power this supercomputer at this one part. Was it a supercomputer?
It was a supercomputer, and
for the entire time they were talking about, oh, it's the hottest day of the year. It had that feel that, okay, you don't get the hottest day of the year usually in any other season. Well, I don't know how Japan works, but
yeah, summer's the hottest.
Yeah, summer's always hot.
Everything.
It's just the weather was so perfectly toned. And if you noticed, I want to go off on a veer to another situation right now. Did you guys notice the baseball game in the background, or was it just me?
What? What are you talking about? It was a very focal point.
Yeah, I know. No, what are you talking about?
What are you talking? I'm talking about the baseball game on the TV.
I'm talking about the baseball game on the TV.
Okay, that's very. You don't miss that.
Yeah.
They show you.
No, I missed it the first time around.
How?
I don't know. I mean, I seriously did not get the subtle hints they were putting. Not subtle hints, but I did not get what they were talking about. Like, I didn't get the relationship with the baseball game in the anime.
Did you sink in with the theme of the movie?
What?
Did you sink in with, like, did you understand the theme of the movie?
Yeah, but not the first time around.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
That's probably why. I noticed it this time. That's why I brought it up.
Like, the baseball game, it's like, itself is a representation of the theme, you know? The team, everything looks hopeless, and, you know, they're getting kicked down, and it looks like they're going to lose, but, you know, they keep on going with the support of the people around them, and then they win the baseball game because they kept going at it with the support of, you know, the people who will believe in them, and then they win the game. And just as the moment Kenji actually succeeds in what he's doing.
I think that's also one of the most beautiful scenes in the show anime. I think, and still to this day, I was trying to hold back tears when everyone's like, use my account and stuff. I was like, oh,
I, gosh. I swear to God, I was too.
I was tearing up, man. I was told.
She was like at the end of her rope, and she was like just looking at her 74, and then the 4 turns to a 5, and she looks over, and there's that little avatar, and it's speaking German. It's
he's like, some little German kid. He's like please use my account.
The avatar, just a little like a little dude. It had like no creativity to it at all.
No. That's a very important point. Like the most seemingly insignificant and unimportant thing is actually the biggest support you can have, and all of that. You know, pulled together is what makes us human, and it's what helps us to do what we need to do.
I was trying so hard because I remember crying so hard, not crying, but I remember shedding tears of joy at that scene when I first watched it. And so this time I told myself, I am not going to cry at that scene. I was holding it back for the entire anime.
That's something you shouldn't do, especially when watching Clannad.
I wouldn't do that.
We're not talking about
that like creates a bottle of hatred in your gut, and you have to like throw up afterwards.
You're gonna like make a tumor in your eyes. Or something.
Pretty much. But
tears of joy when like she got like all 100,000 of those avatars, and they're all like, "We're helping you out, Natsuki. We're giving you our avatars."
And it overwhelmed the screen. Like they give you a shot of a million. Avatars,
no, it wasn't a million. It was like 100 million or something.
It was 100 million. Avatars.
Yeah. Like, but in the one shot, you can't really say the number. But there's
like
all of these avatars, 100 million or however many, and there's only one bubble that says, "Please use my account so that you can save my precious families." That was a really powerful point.
But the other great part about that scene was like it was showing all those avatars, but it's also showing every one of those individual people, either like on their DS or on their laptop or on their cell phone, like watching in on this, like within, like just,
like, yeah. It reminds you that these are actual people around the world that want the same thing and want the help.
I forgot to mention that, but this Oz itself can. The unique thing about it is that it can be accessed by pretty much anything, really. You can access it by computer, by cell phone, or like
ridiculous.
A Nintendo DS or whatever.
It was almost a little ridiculous to see how like every single person in every single shot, I swear to God, a toddler or a baby had a cell phone in his hand with, on odds. But no, I'm not going to complain
about
that.
That just shows you the magnitude of what Oz is.
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing kids use this, like. In everyday life, it's just, I don't know. It's
incredible.
Six CV.
Yeah. It's a really good scene. I praise What's his name? The director.
You know what? We hate. Oh yeah.
What's his name?
Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah. I really praise him for being able to handle that really well.
You know what? I think we should give some praise to like the ADR directors for the English dub because I
didn't watch the ADR.
I know. Well, you didn't. But the ADR director was Mike McFarlane, and I know that name from somewhere. I know it. But I'm not sure. I think he was in like Dragon Ball or something. Yeah, he's Master Roshi. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Another scene that the one I felt more prominently holding back tears was the reading of the grandma's letter. Because that was the introduction to the theme where she explained to everyone, this is what you have to do because I care about you all so much and I want you to, you know, have the best for your lives. So please do this. And then everyone in the scene, they're all crying. And it was just a really powerful scene for me.
And then he comes in on his car and he flips it and he hits the fucking
road.
And
then he's man. Then he starts screaming out. That was also pretty emotional.
If we can go back to the director real quick. I think he's also the creator of it, too. I mean,
yeah, he wrote it and created it.
And he directed it. And he's the director of... really amazing film called The Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which I also watched a long time ago, and Dave's favorite movie ever.
Well, yeah, it's Digimon.
Digimon the movie. Which a lot of people always compare Summer Wars to Digimon, Dave, for some reason.
There's one shot of Kenji that reminded me of Tai in Digimon the movie.
Well, it's not just that, it's the whole premise, too.
Yeah. I'm just saying. That was the one shot, I was like, is this Tai? I could have sworn he looked just like him.
I mean, you could, like, watch both trailers side to side, and you could see they're both pretty similar premises.
The premise is different, but the world... The world felt the same a little... I remember a scene in Digimon where they're, you know, they're fighting in this giant white space with data floating around. So I can see what you mean by that.
There was a countdown, and the world depended on... these kids to save it, you know.
Yeah, I know that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Just really quick, I don't know. There's also this. I know no one else has watched this besides me because I'm the only one stupid enough to look up shit on YouTube to watch. There's this anime short called Super Flat Monogram that is very much like this anime, like The World of Oz. It's actually, I think it's almost completely like it. And I didn't notice until now that it's the same director too. I was like, "Oh my god, that's why." So like they, it's just, I think it's her floating around in a giant. She gets like taken to this giant white space with a lot of colorful shit going on in it. I don't really remember it that much though. It's like a commercial or something. But it's pretty cool. So he always seems to stick with this thing. Like in Dave, didn't you watch The Girl Who Leapt Through Time?
Yeah, I did.
You know, whenever she goes back in time or whatever, she always goes to that one area where the time strip and it's all white and barren. She's just flying through it. It's kind of like that. He likes open, like, I don't know if it's open spaces, but, like, you know, that kind of world is kind of appealing in his work where they always go into different worlds or something like that. I don't know. I've never watched Digimon the movie, so whatever.
One of the blogs that had an article on this movie said that one of the things that's not really so obvious, but it's kind of existent, is that everyone's reliant on this kind of technology and everyone's so dependent on it. I'll argue the case. Well, it's more of like everyone's kind of connected together and everyone's sharing this experience together. I mean, you can kind of see that. You know, that there's a scene where the grandmother uses, like, older technology.
Yeah, you know, she's going through letters and stuff.
Yeah, she's going through letters. She's picking up that old 1990s phone to call everyone and get everyone to...
1990s? That's like an 80s phone, dude.
Like, dinosaur phone, man. Caveman.
Yeah, there's a name for it, that spinning dial.
That's a rotary.
That's a rotary phone, that's right.
She's using the rotary form to contact everyone and... get everyone to like pitch in on helping for this situation, you know.
And I just want to say this before Gabe pokes his nosy nose everywhere and says this out loud without thinking about it. But what? this anime, it really does teach, like, really does go to great lengths to like show you how important family can really be in an anime. Yeah,
we should go back. What are you trying to say?
Family ties and stuff like that.
Yeah, there was a part where what's that guy's name? The second cousin who always gets mad because at
Natsu guy.
Yeah, Shota.
They're making this supercomputer, but it's a really hot day, so it might get fried or whatever. They're afraid of that, so they put a lot of ice around it. And he takes the ice to go put it we haven't explained that, have we? But he puts it in the grandma's room so that, you know, it's the room stays cool. And that makes the computer fry, and since they had they actually captured Love Machine, that's kind of sets him free or causes the program to erode. And I don't know about you guys, but that scene actually meant a lot to me because it's not just that he fucked up; it's that he fucked up to, you know, make, you know,
he had a sincere reason.
He had a great reason for doing that. And that kind of like, what do? Do you sacrifice one of your family members or whatever? I mean, it's not exactly that, but do you make that decision for your family member or two?
Yeah, like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah, kind of. It made a lot. The second time watching it, it made a lot more sense to me, and it made a lot more impact on me. Like, and there was a few scenes like that in the anime too, where people were always they went through a lot of the family members because there's a shit ton of them, like I said before, and all of them have like really important jobs, like firefighter or policeman or whatever. All of them are like really important. They really have to choose like. They have to do these things since everything's going haywire with the city. They have to fix it before they can go back home. And it all wraps up where everyone's kind of working together near the end as a family, kind of. And it all kind of works out in that way. And that's what I like about it not only does everyone make decisions based on what they feel at the time, but it's like everyone kind of gets into that feel that near the end that, like, you know, about family, because everyone near the end was really happy, as opposed to everything that happened in the movie. And really got that feeling they all knew about.
Eating with them in the first dinner, and they're all talking about, like, how their family was, like, fighting the Tokugawa War back in the 1500s and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
What was an even stronger moment in that movie? Is when he's getting pulled away, like, being arrested by Kota. He actually says...
Shota.
What did I say? Yeah. Shota. Anyways, by Shota, he stops him and sits down next to the grandmother and says, "You know, I never really had a family. My parents were always away. I never really got to have a sit down dinner with my family. So I just wanted to thank you for letting me, you know, eat dinner with your family and for your hospitality." That's like an even stronger.
That was a good scene. Yeah.
That was really emotional.
Mm.
It's a really good one.
Richard, very quick?
I was trying to, like, explain more of the family so, like, the viewers can get, like, more, you know, idea of them. But I'm guessing, like, if people listen to this podcast, they already know what the movie's about.
Pretty much. Otherwise, they would have already known what happens in it. It wouldn't matter. Yeah.
I mean...
But, go ahead, Richard.
Like, well... I mean, they also have kind of like an old-fashioned way of, like, how they do things, like honor and stuff like that, and an old kind of Japanese kind of thing, like how, like, when, what's her name, told the grandma that Kenji's, like, her fiancé, it was, like, all surprised, and she's all, like, "Are you worthy of my great-granddaughter?" and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really, it really shows, like, what kind of family that she comes from. It does like a good thing of like showing the background, like the backstory of that whole entire family, but it does it so like subtly and so easily.
Yeah,
I think it's more of history than
like backstory, history, that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of makes them look like they're not tech savvy as the rest of the world.
They're kind
still
of
have it's not that they're tradition,
yeah,
and like old fashioned than like the outside world.
It's not that they're like backwards or compared to society or anything. It's just that they're like, they have traditions and stuff. They have like,
but that whole thing also shows like how vast Oz is and like the importance of it. Because you have this family that's very traditional and very just not as modern, but they still rely on Oz for everything that they do.
The one doctor, he uses Oz for the sole purpose of watching over the grandmother because of her heart.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because of like what happened to Oz, she actually ends up dying because they weren't able to monitor her heart rhythm and everything like that because they used Oz to do so. So
yeah,
there's a scene with the grandmother and fucking crazy uncle. I don't remember his name. God damn it.
The one with the bushy mustache?
No, Bushy for the second time.
Wabisuke.
Wabisuke, yeah. And the grandma's confronting him because of... she's not really confronting him. They just get into like a minor quarrel. And she grabs a spear.
Minor quarrel.
Okay. It might be a little more than a minor quarrel.
It was like... I actually remember that scene because he was like... he was telling her like the reason why he left. And the reason for it was because he wanted to leave so he can earn money for
the family. Well, see, what he had did, he inherited some of the grandmother's land, and he sold some of it for money, and then he left.
And then he left because he used that money to fund creating Love Machine. He was going to sell that program to the United States Army so that way they have a lot more money. Like the way their family was back in history.
There's a point where I really felt where they explained Wabisuke's past and how he was adopted. Well, not really adopted, but he's a illegitimate child on the father, on the grandmother on her husband's side.
He is adopted, but
and
he's
so the grandmother
adopted illegitimate.
Yeah, he's adopted by the grandmother as a child. And at some time in the movie, you really feel that because some of the girls in the kitchen start talking about him like he's not even a member of the family or something. Mm-hmm. Like, they start alienating him and stuff. And it's really... because he leaves for 10 years from the family. He doesn't even keep in contact with them.
Now, everyone disliked him. I think if someone in my family took my grandmother's land and sold it without telling us, I would be furious. Because that seems like a very selfish thing to do, but then he reveals his true intentions,
And it all wraps up really nicely because you figure out he's a really good person in the family, better than like most of the girls in the family who are like.
I don't think he's that cool.
I don't know.
He has a weird way of wording his like saying his words because like when he's explaining his whole situation to like the grandmother, he's like, "You had a whole part in this."
Yeah,
like he said something along those lines, and that's what pissed her off and made her grab the spear. Like, it was almost as if, like, that's just kind of the way his character is. He was trying to explain it to like make it better, but he kind of fucked up.
Like, he's not
by saying you were like you had a part in this as well.
They directed him to make him look like a villain. Like when he was explaining how he designed it. He was like, "Oh yeah, you can't stop him. You know why? Because I made him." The way he said it, and the music, and that camera angle, it made him look like he was the villain. But then they changed it right. They changed it really quickly, and you know that happened with the spear.
Mm-hmm. And, as much as I praise Summer Wars because I do love it to death, it's like one of my favorite animated movies. When I was watching it, the English dub version, there's a few cheesy lines in it, man. I mean, maybe a little more than a few, but it kind of adds to its little bit of charm, you know. There's not a lot of them, and you probably wouldn't notice it watching it the first time around. But yeah, a lot of those lines come off as really cheesy, but they're really good lines that actually mean something in the overall setting and story. So it doesn't really matter, but yeah, some of them kind of can be taken the wrong way if you don't really look into it, and I think some
Uncle Wabisuke, what are you looking at? Naked women.
Yeah, he said that like the smallest little girl there, and he's like, "A woman with big tits. What are you? I'm a ninja from America." this is also a very funny movie. Like they played it off really funny. Yeah,
this is some great shit.
He was like walking down the hall, and then all of a sudden, a little naked girl runs across the room. He's like, "Mama!" And you see her butt naked, and then like he looks like, down the hall, and there's what's her name?
Natsuki.
Natsuki there naked with a towel covering her though, but you know, then he starts to freak out and it's really funny.
Then the very next scene though, he goes into the bathroom, he's like,
yeah.
She bathes in this water, and then like out of nowhere the two kids pop up out of the water.
And then he like falls over himself.
Yeah.
It's a funny movie.
There's some great comedy in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. I really like the cast. They have a really wide, extensive cast. I didn't really like so much the baseball fanatic.
She felt like she was like ignoring everything.
Yeah, like
to watch that baseball game.
People were like they read the letter and she was in the other room, wasn't she?
Dude, people could have been dying in the house, like murdered by like some serial killer, and she would still be watching that fucking baseball game.
Yeah, like when everything was going on, they were preparing the funeral and they were on the computer fighting Love Machine. I think she was still in the.
She was still watching baseball.
Well, her son's a baseball.
Her son
player.
Was in the game.
Yeah,
her
yeah,
son
I know.
Was the pitcher.
Yeah, I understand that, but yeah. I don't really want
to. But
you know,
dropping everything to watch your son play baseball, and especially with what was actually happening at the time.
I mean, when bad things happen,
again, that could be taken as an importance in family, but when you're actually like leaving another family member to go watch another family member, it's kind of.
I'm just saying, it's a little outlandish for everyone to be involved in something serious, and then it goes through a shot of her, like.
She's the comedy relief.
That damn thing.
Well, I want to say something, like, do you guys mind if I bring this up?
What?
Go ahead.
Like, I don't know, you guys ever watch those, like, developer commentaries on the DVD or Blu-ray?
The commentary?
Yeah, like, the actor commentary, like, Lurks, you have the Blu-ray.
I have that, too. I didn't watch it, though.
Like, I don't know, like, when you're, like, you could tell that, you know, they did a lot of good voice work on this, like, mm-hmm. There's a lot of emotion. Like, if you look, like, you know that scene where, like, the grandma's dying and they have the paramedic trying to give her CPR? And, like, it is, like, they show, like a voice actor commentary where, like, they're showing a scene from the voice acting room where all the females are in the room. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that they're putting really emotion in this because, like, you know, they're screaming for, like, keep on going, keep on going. And then in real life, it looks like you can't even tell if they're acting or not because it looks so real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I see.
And another key moment of that scene when their grandma befallen and stuff like that is when, like, everyone's all quiet and, you know, the CPR stop pushing on their chest. And, like, the girl, the baseball fanatic, when mother was like, goes and picks up a baby because the baby's crying, it kind of represents a lot because, like, you know, even though there's death, there's still
even life. In all the turmoil and what's
like,
going on.
Even though there's death, there's still, like, life and hope to be given, stuff like that.
Yeah, there's still something that's in front of you that you need to attend to, even though this is all going on.
All I gotta say is this is probably the best summer ever for that family. Well, not the family, maybe, but for that kid who spends most of his time during the summer at his part-time job.
Kenji.
Probably the most exciting thing that will happen to him in forever, probably in his life.
It changed his life. It's not even.
It's the only thing. Yeah, he went like his character went a complete almost 180.
Can you imagine if his friend was hired and not
God,
him?
No.
Dude.
Well, maybe.
No. Everything
movie's canceled. Movie canceled. Everyone committed suicide.
Movie
everyone
would end in like done. 5 minutes because the boy would just run away when he hears all that. He wouldn't even be able to solve the puzzle, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Well, actually, it would still be him solving the puzzle, wouldn't it? Because everyone got the email.
Well, yeah. He wasn't there, though.
It doesn't matter. He'd just be solving it at his computer, and then
he'd
get arrested.
He didn't have Cosmo. He had the supercomputer, and he didn't have the...
He would just get arrested then, and this movie would be over, or he would be in jail. Like that scene in Heavy Rain where if you ever get caught by the cops and you're stuck in jail for the entire game, or something like that. And I swear to God, I got caught by the cops once, and I could never get out of that fucking jail. So mad. Whatever.
Yeah, another one of key scene I like was like you know, like after death, so like they did that tracking dolly, like a dolly scene. What do you call it when the camera kind of like feel like it's on a train track, tracking
a dolly,
like a dolly, like you know that scene where like after she dies and like the crazy baseball woman's like breastfeeding the baby, and it kind of slides through the room as all the family members are there.
Oh yeah,
just sitting there quietly, and that was like a really you know solemn kind of you know down.
Especially when it slides all the way over to Natsuki and Kenji. Yeah.
Wasn't it like during a sunset scene or kind of like dawn scene that the sun's coming back up? Because she died in the middle of the night.
You know what's... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Richard.
I mean, there's that other scene where like he's sitting right by her and she's crying and
yeah,
you know, their hands are pretty much near each other and like, and that was kind of like a romantic moment when she starts crying. Then they started putting her. Yeah, go ahead, Gabe.
Then he actually does hold her hand, and that's when she completely lets out and starts, you know, bawling.
Yeah.
It was a good scene for romance.
You know what's actually a little bit disappointing about it? Is that if you come off and you watch the Funimation trailer for Summer Wars and you heard the incredible fucking song that was on it, and you watch the movie and the song is not on it because the song was made for the trailer only, you will be disappointed a little bit, because that song is incredible. Like, yeah, that's one of the reasons why I was so excited to watch Summer Wars dub, is because that I watched that trailer so many fucking times just to hear the song again. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but that song is like amazing.
Speaking of music, though, the soundtrack for Summer Wars is actually fucking awesome.
Right? I can't remember that many songs except for the ending song when they're playing Hanafuda. And
that was the best one. That is the greatest. Like, that song fits so well with the situation.
Which one?
The one that they're playing when she's playing Hanafuda against Love Machine at the end.
And she plays the final hand.
When the choir girl starts singing, it's incredible. It was like, that's the scene that almost brings me to tears, man. It's great. Koi. And the song they play in the credits is amazing, though. I love that song that they play during the credits. I don't know why. I have to go back and watch that again.
Not to say I don't know why. It was amazing.
It was a great song.
I want to go back to that final scene. Like, that's the scene with the final hand of Hanafuda.
Hanafuda.
Is my favorite scene in the entire fucking movie, because you have the fantastic like choir piece going on in the background. You see like her avatar is all serious and she's like playing out every hand perfectly. She's throwing down cards like crazy. Mm-hmm. And they're calling out Koi Koi, but it's not just her calling out Koi Koi.
It's the rest of the world.
100 million people all on their cell, looking on their cell phones, their DSs, their laptops, whatever. They're all saying Koi Koi, looking at the screens. And at the very last moment, all 100 million avatars say Koi Koi. She throws down like the most epic card in the world and destroys Love Machine. And it's so awesome.
You should have heard me and Dave's conversation like a year and a half ago, maybe, Dave, when I first got off watching Summer Wars. And I was like, dude, they had the most epic card. Like the most epic card play ever, where she just throws a card on the table, and Dave was like, "Yeah, really? I'll believe you when I see it," or something like that.
It's so
Dave, you're so stupid.
Awesome.
It was my favorite moment in the entire movie, and I my favorite moment in a lot of animes, because I love that scene. It was just so over the top and crazy. What was her avatar again? Is it a chipmunk or a rat? What is it?
It's like a rabbit or something.
Rabbit?
She looked like a human, except the facial features is like that of an animal.
Yeah.
Her facial features look kind of somewhat humanish. She just has big bunny ears.
A little thing that bugged me a little bit with Love Machine is when he was fighting King Cosma and then he absorbed King Cosma, he grew bunny ears. But like, okay. I was thinking to myself, he's a massive avatar, isn't he?
Yeah.
What bugged the shit out of me, though?
Why did he make bunny ears then?
No, when King Cosma first fights Love Machine as Kenji's avatar being taken over by Love Machine, Cosma gets distracted for like a split second.
Everyone in the family keeps distracting him, and that's a big part of the movie.
Love Machine gets away, but like I'm pretty sure Love Machine only absorbed like two avatars, and then he turns into this like big badass avatar looking dude.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm sure he could have done it from the beginning. Well, he just not necessarily from the beginning, but go
ahead.
He was able to absorb two of them, and then he looks like that. I'm sure it would have made a lot more sense if he started like taking in like multiple, like I don't know, like 10-ish.
Maybe he needed only two more.
I don't know. That was one weird part of that movie that just didn't sit right with me.
With that same scene, what bugged me is that I looked over a few things with the family, but that scene really bugged me how all the kids were kind of, I mean, that's what kids do. They fuck up shit, but they were really fucking that shit up, man. With, if they weren't there, that scene would have gone totally different. And this problem probably would have been solved really early on in the movie.
But then we wouldn't have a movie.
Exactly. So I guess those kids saved us from having a 30-minute long movie.
Those kids are assholes.
They are fucking everything up. They're like, oh, a game. Can I play? No, get the fuck out of here.
Then, like, in the part where like they're like they hooked up the supercomputer to that antenna. It's like, hey, don't play with those wires. Those aren't toys. We're just looking at them.
And then he like turns around for a second. They go back. He turns around, and then they're like, "What? We're not doing anything."
Oh my god!
I really like the characters. Like, oh my god! I really wish Cosmo was a girl.
That's the only character you don't like because it's not a girl. Right?
No, I do like him, but
why'd you just say, Gabe, you would go gay for a character in Summer Day?
Admit it, Gabe.
Summer Day.
I'm not at liberty to say this on the show.
Admit your
feelings.
Even
has
the hair
covering his eye, like every girl.
Come on, when you saw her in the night on her computer, you did not think she was a girl.
Everyone thought he was a girl.
And then
he saw the uniform or like your guy clothes, and yeah, that pretty much sealed the deal.
Wait, what guy clothes? He had the same clothes. He had the same clothes throughout the whole time.
No. See, you can't even say it.
He changed clothes at the end with like the white shirt and stuff.
Yeah, he did change
clothes. Yeah, but like I mean through the whole movie,
I know.
White shirt.
Yeah. Man. I was dumbstruck. I was like, no.
I think
You know what? I thought that Cosmo was also a girl, but I was not attracted to her. So
I wasn't attracted to her either. I don't know what Gabe's getting at here.
I don't know either. Gabe's got some sort of weird thing for tan, short hair.
I'm sure Dave did too, because that was during his.
What?
I know you liked him like that, Dave.
No, I just thought he was a girl.
Whatever. You're in denial now. So.
Like at one scene when Wobbsky shows up, I thought Wobbsky was Cosmo's dad.
Oh my God. They explained
why Cosmo's all, you know, outcasted and all stuff from the family.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for something like that to happen. You know what? In C, I was expecting that to happen too with like that guy he meets in C. The fucking guy with the weird ass.
Wrong anime?
What?
You're talking about C, right?
Oh, C, the anime, yeah. The new anime just came out. I thought that guy was going to be his dad. I don't know if it's, you know, whatever.
I doubt it.
Me too, but whatever.
I'm just saying, I don't hate Shota, but I would have preferred it to be a girl.
Gabe has a thing for short-haired tan boys.
Shut up.
I'm just saying, dude. You know what? You could have kept that whole thing to yourself, and I would have never said a word.
Did anyone notice the kind of, not racial differences, but everyone kind of had a different thing going for them? Like, skin tone, kind of. Especially you can tell the difference because Cosmo was like the tannest motherfucker ever, and the whole family was white as hell, kind of. But they all had their differences. And I think it kind of, how they spend their day or how they live kind of made it, because I think Cosmo's father was also pretty tan, and I think he works out like in the field or something. I can't remember
a lot.
And a lot of the girls, since they work in the house, usually cooking and stuff, they're pretty white, you know, and they had very good details with skin tones.
But Cosmo like sits on his computer in his room.
Yeah, but he practices.
He practices Shaolin Kung Fu.
So I guess he spends a lot of his time outside.
Yeah, you see him a lot outside practicing Kung Fu. So
and like the great uncle's like his sensei, or what he calls him.
He trained him kind
of. Yeah, because he was bullied in school and some of that.
Yeah, it was funny because they used Oz to train, and then they even trained outside of it too. But it was pretty funny that they used Oz to teach his
grandson.
He teaches his grandson. Shaolin Kung Fu is awesome. using a computer game to teach someone how to fight is incredible.
What's the main character's name again?
Kenji.
Yeah, Kenji brought down PSN because someone sent him a cracker.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh,
Richard figured it out. We gotta tell Sony.
Problem.
Hey, yo, Sony. Love
Machine's taking our accounts, man. What the fuck are we gonna do?
Freaking.
Challenge him to Hanafuna quick.
When I watched this movie a third time, I was like, when I was watching a movie a third time, I was like, oh wait, does Love Machine's taking all the counts? I'm like, this reminds you of some event that's happening right now. It was like the whole PSN thing down and like Amazon servers are down. I was like, yeah, that reminds me, I need to call the bank because I need to check on my card.
I think everyone called the bank after they heard the place.
I don't use credit cards.
I don't use credit cards on my account either.
You guys are weird. I use credit cards.
But I use it on Amazon, so yeah.
Got to play Hanafuda and get all our credit card numbers back.
No, it'd be some stupid American game. Like,
all right, let's get the supercomputer out, guys.
Yeah, man, we've got to get the super PS4 out of top.
Somebody grab the giant blocks of ice.
Get the antenna. Bring the ship down. He had a ship.
That was amazing.
That's like a little outlandish scene. I mean, like, here we have a whole family born to death, and then he brings a freaking pickup truck. Not even a pickup truck. It's a huge truck with a ship on it, and he plows through the entrance, and he breaks it.
Everyone was doing that. Like, you have the scenes where they're, like, trying to pick out a picture for grandmother, and they're trying to, like, you know, set up her room so that, like, you know, she's all comfortable and everything. And then you see him, like, the guy with the supercomputer on a forklift, like, trying to push it into the room.
And he's like, I can't get this in the room. And he's pushing. The earth is shaking. Like, there's an earthquake. And the rice ball on her head, on the table near her head, it falls over. Like, what the hell, man? Have some grace of yourself. Your grandma's just
the fucking ship, like the boat. And he drops into the pond. And the big with, title, like, the
fish,
goes.
Yeah, with the fish in it, he gives everyone a little bath. He's like, yeah, we got everything we
need. Once that thing knocked the rice bowl next to the grandma's dead body.
I thought someone was going to freak out.
And because you know why the chopsticks are pointed straight up in that thing? Because that represents death in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh shit, that's fucked up.
Yeah, like the fucking rice bowl. I thought someone was going to scream their head off. I would not accept someone plowing through my entrance with a truck.
And that character itself was kind of foolhardy is the word, but he was kind of childish in the movie, and everyone kind of the uncle
that likes to reminisce on the war.
Oh shit! I forgot what I was going to mention because you guys got me thinking about the rice bowl.
He's kind of like that person in the family that, you know, is always joking around and, like, talking about war, and the whole family just kind of keeps egging him on. Just
he's that high energy person who always has something to say.
That's exactly right. That was one of my favorite characters.
Yeah.
One of them. Actually, you know what? I don't even think I had a favorite character in this movie. Because, you know what? This whole entire cast of characters is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good.
You guys already know who my favorite character is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Love Machine.
Oh, yeah, I know. Too,
right? play on words.
It's not even that... It's not even that Love Machine was a bad... Not person, but he wasn't really a bad kind of dude. He was just wanting to learn stuff, dude.
He was a badass. Look at my avatar.
He was badass, and all he wanted to do was learn, and that's it. And it caused the world to blow up. Well, he did send a satellite to, you know...
The dog. He was aiming at the dog.
he was trying to commit an atrocity.
Screw that dog, and he aimed at him.
after some part in the movie, they figure out that what's going on is that they have these satellites the satellite in orbit, is that it? Is just satellite?
It was a satellite.
And basically it gets messed up to the point where it's heading for a collision with Earth. And
The original point of crash was at
any nuclear power plant on the planet, which is kind of like, I was thinking about what's going on right now, you know.
Yeah.
The whole Japan thing, and I was thinking, wow, this right now this might be a little risque, but this is pretty cool. You know, this could
a year ago.
This was 2 years ago.
Yeah, well, no, this was 2 years before like any of this shit happened. Yeah. So. Yeah,
I know, but I don't know if people are going to give it beef for that or not. I mean, I've seen a lot.
Well, you know what? You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they did, because they you know what they did over in Japan? They dropped the reruns of Tokyo Magnitude 8.0.
Yeah, that I know, man, and that's an amazing show too.
Yeah.
But I know what that must have brought up. You know, it's not good.
But go on, Vincino, before we talk.
Yeah,
about...
Like eventually they go on to like the satellite changes its course. Like it gets redirected, and you just see on the computer the satellite zoom in, and then you see the dog barking at it, and then it just keeps zooming into the dog, and it's like
he zoomed in straight on that dog. Straight on the dog. He's like, you know what? The dog. I'm going for the dog. The dog has to die. Like, as if the dog foiled his plan.
That
like,
leads to
would have gotten away with you if it weren't for those meddling kids and the damn dog.
That scene also leads to one of the greatest scenes also in that movie, besides the Hanafuda battle, where Kenji is trying to decode the past, get to the past.
Oh, God.
And he keeps locking it up, so he has to enter a password, and he does this shit.
No, we have to explain. He has to get into, like, to change the coordinates of the landing of the satellite. So when he tries to enter in the password so he can control it, Love Machine, in his weakened state, he keeps changing the encryption.
No, he locks it out with an
encrypted password. So twice he has to write this all on paper and encrypt it so that he can enter in the password.
There's a time limit. He has to do all this in like 10 minutes or something. He has to enter the password and change the target.
I had a problem with the scene before that scene.
Wait, which one is that?
Like, when the countdown starts, you know, and everyone's kind of, like, panicking, and the next thing they do is have a dinner.
Yeah, okay, okay.
There we go.
Even one of the characters in that scene mentioned, isn't this kind of wrong that we're eating when the world's kind of,
there was an important part.
I know, but I'm just addressing what Dan was thinking, too.
They're addressing their grandma's dying wish is to have dinner with
the family, primarily Wabi-Sake, because she knew that he was going to come home hungry.
It could also be like a thing for good luck, because they wanted grandma's wishes, you know, they wanted her help with whatever they were going to do. But I get what you mean, Dave, because when I was watching that, I was like, what the fuck are they doing eating?
They were hauling ass when they were eating, Dave. So,
like, fuck shit.
If they had that extra time, you wouldn't have to like worry about so much about the time limit.
Yeah,
you know?
But Dave, everyone wants a 007 time making it. would you really be happy with him entering the code with 10 minutes to spare? That's boring. We want 2 seconds or even I say 1 second left on the clock.
It doesn't make the
But
scene,
you know what's crazy?
Fake. You know.
What?
What are you saying, Dave?
What was the last word?
Well, I know what you're saying. It's like it doesn't make the scene as epic if he had time left. Because, you know, 2 hours is kind of like his... Or 3 hours or whatever. I don't know how much time he's doing.
It was
they had 2 hours.
And 10 minutes.
And 10 minutes down to the dot. Whatever.
When he came back, was like... What time did he have left?
They were on there for a while, but when he made it to the...
When they beat him in Hanafuda, they had 13 minutes left, and then it started back up again. So he had like 13 minutes to do all this shit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know what you mean. And if the time limit would have been 2 hours, they would have been dead. I'm just saying, because that's like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, they started having dinner when the 2 hour timer went off, not like when they had 13 minutes left.
Yeah. What's it called?
Throw up if I was eating dinner with 13 minutes to die. I would not hold down that food.
Gabe, what were you getting at? You were trying to explain the scene.
So he's encrypting the code, and Love Machine keeps locking it up, and then, you know, with, I think, like 2 minutes, not even.
No, he had 1 minute. I'm not joking. It was 1 minute only.
To encrypt the next code, and then it's like, he looks like he's about to break down, like he can't do this, but in reality,
he had to look on his face like he was looking.
In reality, he was like, he drops the pen and he's shaking, but
his whole body is shaking, like he's spasming.
Yeah, his eyes become like golden, and then what he's actually doing, he's doing the numbers in his head. In his head.
It's C. It's all it is.
Yeah, and then he does it in his head. He's slowly typing on the keyboard, and the people around him are like, what? It's in his head? And he's like...
I don't know how you think... This is it's not that it's impossible. It's just that you have to... In order to understand how impactful that scene is, you have to understand that even when you write out all the numbers that are in that thing, it's still almost impossible to de-encrypt that. And no, you have to think it was impossible. And he did everything in his head. He did all the numbers and decrypted it in his head. It was insane. And he broke his brain because he was bleeding out his fucking nose.
That scene. He started bleeding. Like that's an understandable reason to bleed. I mean, like, dude, that's you're like hauling ass with that brain, and I'm surprised he didn't like start bleeding out of his ears.
I'm surprised he didn't get a Nobel Prize at the end of that fucking movie.
I'm surprised he did. I'm surprised he's the runner up of the Math Olympics. Who the fuck?
Who the hell? Yeah, remember, like, apparently, no. We have to explain to the audience that you already know this. He did not encrypt that code correctly for starting this. 40 other people actually made it. How the hell does this guy encrypt the code to saving the world, not get it right, and be beaten to represent Japan? Because he missed one letter
when he was typing it back into his cell phone.
Yeah.
Time, though. That's not like a mathematical error. That's just him.
That was just him fucking up.
Typo. But seriously, who's the guy in front of him in the Math Olympics? Who is that guy?
Who is that?
That's Stephen God? Hawking.
He was out curing various diseases when this was going on.
He created Oz, that guy made
he's
Oz.
He's the inventor of Oz.
He is the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, God. You stupid motherfucker. Why you gotta always do this on every show and make a shitty pun?
Oh, shit.
Every fucking show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Good movie, guys. Good movie.
How long have we been going on?
Well, do you guys want to give it a score? Everyone want to give it a score out of 10?
I mean, is there anything else that we're missing out on? That we could
we explained pretty much all there is. I mean, I don't even want to touch on the glasses guy because I don't know.
Dude, he's
in nothing.
He's like the glasses guy in Horror Musico. Fuck
it. He's gay. No wonder he didn't want to do the fucking job.
Wasn't kidding at that, but okay.
He wanted the job, you know that.
He did want the job.
How about the bromance play?
Oh wait, that's right. Never mind.
What, Richard?
Wait, what were you asking, Lurks?
I was gonna say, like, how did they decide who was going? Then I remembered they played Rock, Paper, Scissors.
Yeah,
is that it?
It's kind of silly. Okay. They actually said that at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What were you saying, Richard?
Like, how you guys thought the romance played out, because that's one thing I didn't really like about the movie, was the romance.
Yeah, I wish they would have, like, gone a little bit farther with it. Yeah, like, she kissed him at the end, but I kind of would have liked to see it go a little farther.
Yeah, because, like...
That's kind of how his character is, though. Like, he's this pretty dude who...
No, but yeah, but, like, I wish, like, at the end of the credits there would have been an end card or, like, a little scene at the end where... You know, they got married.
You want just a brotherhood ending for this movie. Well, that's not
brotherhood. Shut up.
But you want an ending.
But you did see that, like, if you watch the credits, you do see them holding hands in the credits.
Yeah.
You just want an after story. Summer Wars after story.
I'm sorry. I can't hold my love for after story.
I mean, like, I'm getting a movie. I know, like, they know each other from school, and she's, like, their senpai, and they're their kohai. Or you want to say it, like, I don't know, do they know each other more, or, you know, have a crush or something like that?
Oh, they're like, definitely doing it.
It feels like
now.
one of those cliche, like, adventure hero thing where, like, a guy saves a girl and doesn't really barely know her, and they like each other already.
It kind of feels like that, like, you go on a vast adventure, then when it ends off, like, right at the end of the adventure, then you're stuck wondering, well, do things go back to normal now, or do they go out together? They probably go out together.
Did they go over their past?
Not very much.
No.
I mean, like, how do they know each other or how long?
Why in the world was Natsuki running out on those two asking for the favor?
Obviously, they're close friends. But yeah. I would have liked to see like their history behind
them.
Well,
if they were close friends, then why would she ask them in the beginning? Wait, y'all work for Oz?
Yeah,
I don't think that's something a close friend would know about.
They just started up as a summer job. I remember them saying. I think.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah, it's a new thing they were doing.
Maybe they were just close acquaintances that spent like a movie or two together.
That's true.
It said that they're all in the same class apparently or something. Like at the same school. I don't know, but something like that.
There is a manga this movie.
He did say something like they shared the same physics class. Yeah. I do remember him saying something like that in the movie.
Yeah, but they were in high school. But I would have liked to see like they were together in middle school, or they knew each other since they were kids, or they had a lot of classes together in the past, but it's fine, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's fine, because it'll bring like useless scenes. Not really useless, but like ongoing scenes that put some more time on the movie.
Yeah.
I think that would have put... I think that would have probably... what's the word I'm looking for? I think like distracted the viewers from like the actual themes and points.
Yeah, I wouldn't actually know how they would present that.
Yeah, it'd be kind of...
Like, they can't just come up out of nowhere with a little flashback to how they were playing in the playground when they were in middle school or something. I guess it's fine. It's
Cross Game does that game!
Shut up about Cross Game! We're talking about Summer Wars!
That's minor details, you know? You don't really need that... those kind of scenes to like fully understand it. You can just kind of assume things.
Yeah. But for the sake of wanting this relationship, you know, I would have liked to see how closely involved they are together, just because of the relationship between them.
Gabe watches too much After Story. Yeah. He needs a prior series.
Alrighty. So should we move on to
scissors? Yeah, we're gonna
bitch.
Yeah, last segment of this, we go around, say what we liked, give a score. Let's start off with Richard.
Yeah, Richard.
Oh, why me?
Why me?
I liked it. It's a pretty cool concept, pretty good story. And to me, the theme seems to be like connection, because like, you know, connection to the world and connection to family and family ties, and that all played well together. Let's see, art animation. I really liked it. It was really crisp. It's really like, you know, vivid, beautiful. You know, like as everyone said about like, you know, how the art was to depict summer and all that stuff. It really did really nicely. And you know, the sprites or the characters, they seem, you know, different from the background, but but like, you know, they were simple. I guess, you know, I don't know. They looked good and, you know, kind of more realistic than like any other typical anime character. You know, I watched both the English dub and the Japanese sub, and they were really good. And, like, I really liked the dub. It was probably one of the best dubs. And like, I don't know, I thought this movie would be noteworthy to be in, like, mainstream American Western movie theaters.
Only thing that ever gets into American movie theaters these days is Miyazaki films, pretty much.
I know. Yeah. So, what would be your overall score?
Either a 9 or a 10, but I guess I'm gonna go move that back up to a 10.
Yeah.
Good job.
Good.
All right.
Who are we going to next?
Going to you, Gabe.
Okay. There's a lot to say about this movie. I especially love the tone and atmosphere. Kazuma, I love the animation. Kazuma, I love the script. Kazuma, I love the story and everything. The cast, Kazuma, it's all great. You know, I give it a 10 out of 10. I can't resist it. You know,
yeah,
it's a great movie. Yeah. Kazuma.
My favorite part was when Jack Rockon broke through the wall. crazy on everybody.
Go back to Jack Rockon.
Okay.
Whatever. Two best characters, Kazuma and Jack Rockon.
All right, Vincito, what's your
give me a
rundown?
I already have a rundown. I really like this movie. I watched it probably before y'all, and I really liked it back then. I really like it now. Watching a second time, I still could not keep my eyes off the movie, because I usually do. When I'm watching a movie on my TV or animes on my TV, I usually read manga or play solitaire like I always do. This anime, I couldn't really take my eyes off it that often, except for maybe a few talking scenes. I didn't really have that much of a problem with the dub. I thought I would, but some of the, like, all of the voice actors and actresses, maybe some of the little kids pissed me the fuck off, but that's how little kids are, and they piss you off. And I really like how, I just like what this anime did, and I like all the subtle shit that was in it too. I give this a I really wish I don't know why, but I really wish I could give this a higher score, but I give it a 9 out of 10. Probably a really high 9, the highest 9 out of 10 I can possibly give in my entire life.
That would be a 10. You have to round it up.
It's almost. It's so I don't know.
Round to the nearest whole number.
Because if I gave Summer Wars a 10, I'd have to give like Outlaw Star a 10 then, and I would probably do that because I love it. I don't know. It's just how I feel.
Summer Wars is Summer Wars. Outlaw Star is Outlaw Star. Just be true to yourself.
They're like the most. They're like the two same shit. Maybe I'll change it to a 10 later, but for now, 9.
That means a 10. Let's move on.
Who's my next? 9s mean 10s now.
Fine.
My 10s are 11s. All right.
Is it my turn?
Dave. Okay. Go for it.
I'm going to feel like the black sheep of this. Cause,
you're always the black sheep.
Though. Yeah, I know, huh? But I really did enjoy Summer Wars. You know, this might be like Mamoru Hosoda's magnum opus out of all the movies he's ever done. It really did surpass
even The Girl Who Leapt Through Time?
The Girl Who Leapt Through Time was an amazing movie, but like, I don't know. I don't want to get into that right now.
Yeah, I did think this was better than The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. It has great visuals, a great cast of characters. I don't know. I guess I didn't like really wasn't that emotional at some of the scenes that some of the you guys were describing. But
I didn't get that emotional that one scene. So.
You don't have to feel emotional as long as you understand that. You understand what is emotional, and you know what's good. Did you think it was good?
I did think it was good. You know, like I felt sad, but not like I wasn't bawling at some scenes. But
it's just you, but you understand that's a good scene.
I wasn't bawling at the scenes either. What the hell are you talking about?
I don't know, but
I shed a tear, but I wasn't bawling.
I shed a tear at that epic scene. That's because it was too epic. It's like me crying at the end of that Gurren Lagann movie because I couldn't take the epicness that was going on at the same time and shit.
Yeah.
It ain't like After Story, man.
This ain't After Story. So Dave, what's your score?
I give this a 9 out of 10.
You know what? Okay. My score is an indefinite 9. Now that I don't want Dave to feel like the black sheep, I have an excuse to take it a 9.
Well, Hedvin, you can come be on,
Ben. No, Dave, we can Dave be black is together. To, Dave we can be to... black. Dave, come on.
We can be Cosmos.
We can be tan.
We can be tan, Dave.
Okay, come on. Coming out of Dave's mouth, it's a 9. A 9. You know you want to give it.
I don't know what you have a problem with Dave these days, Gabe. Whatever.
I didn't say anything. I just know he's strict. So a 9 is an exceptional score.
Dave's not that strict.
What are you talking about, Ben?
He hated Akikan. We're going too far.
Hey, look, high five, Dave. Give it Akikan a 4.
Yeah.
You two are the black sheep of that show. Excuse me, the tan sheep.
The tan sheep. Yeah, that's a good, better expression.
Okay.
The tan sheep.
We're getting a little too far. Lurks, we're down all right. You.
All right. I have to say that Civil War is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. Uh-huh. I fucking adore this movie more than anything. The characters are great. The story is really, really nice. It's easy to follow. Mm. The visuals are phenomenal. The romance isn't very strong in it, but it's still there, and it's still something that you kind of feel for throughout the movie. There's like some intense moments. There's some emotional moments. that what is it? Hanafuda, Hanafuda?
Hanafuda.
Hanafuda.
Okay, I keep fucking that up. That match at the very end with Love Machine is one of my favorite scenes of, like, probably any anime ever. It's intense, it's emotional. I fucking loved it. I loved the music in this movie. And I have to say, I've never, like, I never had an easier decision of giving a 10 to an anime than this outside
since after,
of, like,
Since
Story or Brotherhood. This was an easy 10 for me. I loved this movie so much, and I'm so glad I bought it on Blu-ray. I love this fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably go out and buy this on Blu-ray again, because I do like, I really love Summer Wars. I'm not a Ghibli fanboy, but I still adore Princess Mononoke. I think it's probably the best animated film ever made, and I still adore Spirited Away as Dave's. I think Dave. What do you like, Dave? Princess Mononoke.
I like Spirited Away a lot.
Better than Princess Mononoke.
It's like even. It's kind of hard to like put them.
They're hard. It's hard. So, but I still love Summer Wars. Is probably like, and not even anime. I think it's like in my top five animated movies. Like not top five, maybe top 10. But it's really amazing. It's in my favorite animated movies.
It's incredible.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah. It's probably something like everyone could enjoy. You know, not even like if you're not really into like anime. You could probably watch pretty much.
There's a lot of people, even if you like ever check like the YouTube page on like the trailers and everything, everyone's pretty positive, and that's YouTube people. Well, man,
here's the thing, like I have a friend of mine that I work with, and he was over at my house one day, and we started watching Summer Wars, and he was like, dude, this movie is incredible, and he doesn't watch anime, like not at all really, and he said this movie is fucking incredible. This movie is fantastic.
Yeah, I would say this movie goes past like any most American movies, even like a lot of anime movies. But this one, like, really takes that step and goes ahead of a lot of other movies.
It's really sad that it kind of missed the nomination for the Oscars. But there was a lot of really.
It was nominated. Hello.
It was nominated for the nomination.
Yeah, but still, it actually made it there.
If there was really one more movie, one more in the nomination, it would have been nominated. One more. I'm not joking. Like, just one more animated movie would have been nominated.
I have to say this. I said this a while back when I did my review of the Tatami Galaxy on the regular show. Madhouse is an incredible fucking studio.
Yeah.
They can put out some of the best animations, like, just flat out. They can just do some of the greatest stories, the greatest animations. They are a top-notch company, and they should be praised more often for what they do.
They really stepped it up for this. Like, the past works of Madhouse, I know that, you know, recently were like Death Note and Dead...
made Death
High School,
Note...
High back. School of the Dead, Death Note, Deno Coil, but, like, this one really... really pushes it.
I think the ones that Madhouse gets most praised of are the really, really popular and really, really really praised shows like Beck. Death Note, of course, gets a lot of praise always, never stopping. I think Summer Wars actually gets a lot of praise nowadays too, which is really good.
And
they've also made like Tatami Galaxy, which has won various awards and Summer Wars won a lot of awards too at film festivals and all that junk. And a lot of Madhouse's animes, but with every good anime, a lot of studios make some shit, man. And even after finishing Iron Man, I can't go back to that anime at all.
I can't. Oh, dude, I don't plan to finish Iron Man. I have way too much respect for both Madhouse and for even Marvel, because I have the best respect for Marvel too. I just cannot finish it. I cannot stand it, and that's why I haven't watched any of the other Marvel Madhouse.
I can't believe that Akikan was released after. I just can't get over it. Why?
Right, come on, come on,
fuck?
Come on. We're we're going off topic.
All right. Now I do want to bring up one thing really quick before I wrap things up. Do y'all want to do? Like, decide on the next movie here on the show, or do you...
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, like, I think we could.
Alright, because I have a list here. of good number of movies. Not the longest list in the world, but it's. I don't want to do The Girl Who Left Through Time because I don't want to do two Mamoru Hosoda movies back to back. Kind of like the same. Like, and I don't want to do like two Ghibli movies. I
just That's going to be tough, like, not doing two Ghibli movies back to back.
No, not really. I mean, there's other movies out there we could watch.
Have you guys seen Colorful yet?
Huh?
No.
It's an award-winning movie that came out in 2010 that I was actually planning on watching soon, so I was just going to watch that myself, I guess.
Well, I was thinking between two movies. We could either... Well, actually, maybe even three. Mm-hmm. There's one of the... We can watch the first Gurren Lagann movie, because I still haven't watched either of those.
Well, you'd have to watch them both then, if you want to do one on that.
No, let's hear the rest of the list.
Alright, go.
Alright. And then there's... the other two that I was thinking about doing is either 5 centimeters per second.
Yes, yeah.
Oh boy.
Or Grave of the Fireflies.
I have Grave on DVD.
I want to put my name in the hat. I want to watch 5 centimeters per second.
I want to watch Grave of the Fireflies.
Dave, come on. You have to finish. You have to finish 5 centimeters per second.
Why do you people do this to me? You gotta...
Well, we also
we should
have
let Richard throw in there too. Richard, what do you want to see?
Let's see. I already seen 5 centimeters. I kind of want to see Grave of the Fireflies again, but I still haven't seen the Gurren Lagann movies. But I'm cool. Whatever you guys want
to
see.
We need to do Dave. What was that one anime where they had to shit and then they got popsicles for shitting and everyone were like drugs and shit?
Oh my god! Everyone,
we have to watch that movie.
Shut up. Okay, Dave Hammer, come on. What do you want?
I'll go with Grave of the Fireflies.
Oh, come on!
Alright, so I think we'll do... Well, here, how about this, Gabe? We'll do Grave of the Fireflies for episode 3, and we'll do 5 centimeters per second.
5 centimeters per second is amazing. But
yeah, we'll do that for episode 4. How about
we
do that?
It's like a 3-part story that jumps various ages between it, which is still okay.
So, anybody who's listening... Go check out the site. I'm going to make a post probably this upcoming Friday about the next movie, which is going to be Grave of the Fireflies. I'll make a post on it, comment on it if you want to be a part of the next show. So go to animeafterlifepodcast.wordpress.com. Check out the site. Subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on iTunes and Zoom now. So
we're on
that.
Zoom. Yay. Zoom.
Yeah. And with that said, that is Summer Wars, another fantastic movie that we've watched with Anime Movie Friday. And that's it, guys. Thanks for listening.